Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to go all the way from 7:1 to 8:1 tonight and look at this. And this in my Bible is entitled, The Value of Practical Wisdom. As I was listening to that song that Tony was singing, I thought about how well it tied in with where we're at in Scripture tonight. Because again, as I've told you before, Solomon is in the Old Testament, and as we're writing this book and thinking of us, he's trying to compare the world's wisdom and the things of the world at that time with where's God at in the picture. And again, the fact is before the cross, everything was a lot different in things till today. We have what Tony sung about. We have the ability to take our things to the cross. Solomon at that time didn't have that opportunity because that cross had not happened. And so we need to think through that as we come to this verses tonight and realize that. And again, our worldview says, or the worldview outside says, practical wisdom and look for wisdom in things. We like to call it maybe common sense, that we want to trust in our common sense. And that's okay to a point, but common sense doesn't always work in kingdom principles and in kingdom things. So that's what we need to realize as we think through that. And I think that's what he's comparing here as we look at this. So let's stand and read God's Word. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to go all the way to 8:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of the death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for a sad countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. The heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This is also is vanity. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before you tonight, Father. I seek your face. I pray that we will be the people that turns to your Son, Jesus Christ, and guide us and direct us in all that we do, that we glorify it. Father, that we realize our name needs to be based on that we're Christians, Father, that we're followers of Christ, that we're following you in all that you want us to do through your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us and direct us in that, Father. Be with those that are sick, those that's in need, those that's called and asked for prayers today, and those that will be coming home from the hospital this week, and those that will be going into the hospital. Guide and direct the doctors in healing of bodies and strengthening of lives, Father. We give you the praise and glory for it all, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, it says there first that a good name is better than precious ointment. You know, it's amazing how our world has changed from when most of you in this room, including myself and others of us, you know, a person's name meant something. Let's use, and I don't mean it, but the Sweet family. It's a family that I've come to know a lot of out and being from that part of the area and things. But then in what came to me is I didn't realize I knew somebody that was kin to y'all until we've been putting it all together. And things. But it's kind of like the Neils or the Williamses of White Right. There's just those families. You know, the Potter family, the Potters were the bricklayers around here. That's just, you know, when I was growing up, and if you wanted good bricklayers, you went to the Potter family. That was kind of what it was. That good name meant there. You know, but we're living in a culture today that a good name doesn't always mean something, because we've got a guy that rode a bicycle and won and won and won and said he didn't cheat. And now he says he did. And they're making a big deal about it and things. But that's the world we're living in. We don't honor the name. I think that's part of what I talked about this morning, even in the Christian circles, that we claim the name Christ, but we're not following it. If it meant something, it should instill in us that there's that fact of us knowing that people are looking at us and seeing that. And things. He talks there about that, and building off of that, that the day of death and the day of birth. You know that there's two ends to this. That it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. You know, he kind of parallels that backwards and forth as we go there, the wise and the fool and those things that he's talking about. You know, we want to go have fun. The world says, let's have fun. But we don't get a lot out of it. We can fill a stadium to watch a football game. The next Sunday night, we'll all be going home to watch a football game. Probably. especially if the team with the star had been there, which I don't know when they're going to get to go back, we'd all be there watching it. And things. But the fact is that we'll do that in feasting and in joy, but we won't come to the house of God. We won't come and, you know, the revival meetings today. Many of you remember revival meetings that was 7 days a week. Tent meetings or the old full gospel in the Baptist church. I mean, you had a you know, and it wasn't an hour long meeting. You know, if you got up and went to work, there was times when I was a kid and when even when we were young that sometimes we'd have to be at work at 11 o'clock at night and we wouldn't get out of church till 10 o'clock because of what God was doing and things. But we don't see that anymore. We try to tone that down, I guess, in things. But that's what he's saying there is in these passages, that the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning and the heart of the fools in the house of mirth. And then in verse 6, he says, "The crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool." You know, when you burn briars or thorn bushes, they burn up quickly and pop and snap. You know, I think of the boat arcs. Now, they say a boat arc is one of the hottest fires that's out there. But they say you don't want to put it in an open fireplace because it will light up the house. It just keeps popping and popping and popping and things. But what he's saying here, the thorns are burned up quickly is kind of what it's talking about, and that it's all vanity. You know, that's what we need to realize is that we're all going to die. The fact is again, Solomon was before what we know today is that when we die, our soul goes to be with the Lord. In the Old Testament, the view of that was different, and we need to realize that as we think through that. But the fact of seeing that take place. As we look at the next section of verses 7 through 12, it says, "Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, 'Why is the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense as money is a defense. But the excellent of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it." You know, he talks about the oppression destroys the wise man's reason and a bribe debases the heart. Again, our world today is what can we get out of it? You know, our own government is too busy about passing the buck to somebody else. It's everybody else's fault and things. But then we want to take from those that have and things like that. You know, he talks about there that in verse 8, the end of a thing is better than the beginning. You know, that we realize that's the case. That we think about the joy of life. And for a Christian, I think that's the key thing. I talked to those of you that didn't know who I was talking about this morning, Billy Burgess passed away. This is Bobby Burgess, who some of you know, who comes to our men's Bible study. It's his dad that I was mentioning this morning. And I talked to Bobby this afternoon on the phone and was just telling him, and most of you know Bobby, so I can say this and things. But, you know, Bobby's prayers was that his dad would be gone. And he said, you know, the last several months since he's been in the nursing home, it really wasn't his dad. And things. And so, but the fact is that at the end, the joy is knowing that they know where he's at and to take place of that. Now they're working on the funeral and things, but the fact of realizing that the better is in is better than things to think through. In verse 10, it says, "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For we do not inquire wisely concerning this." How many times do we always talk about the way it used to be? And I did that just a few minutes ago. The way we used to be. We always talk about that. We can't go back. We've got to go forward and things. But we need to be careful about talking about the former days. And that's part of the worldly view that we have and part of the flesh, I think, that lets us talk about that and things. What is God doing today? You know, that the wisdom is the offense. That we've got to reach for wisdom. And I think as a Christian, our wisdom comes from the Lord, that we we trust in Him and place our trust through Him and know that He's the one that's there for us, that we have the knowledge of Him. What I was trying to say this morning, and I'm not sure that I did it fully, is when I read those numbers that I read this morning, it kind of tells us we need to reevaluate how we do evangelism. Our knowledge needs to be different because we're going to be confronting folks in our community. If those numbers are true, and I believe they are to a big part, we don't need to say, do you know Jesus? Do you want to be saved? Because they already think they know Jesus. We've got to say, do they have a relationship? Our word choice has to be very careful in selecting how we do witness. They've heard the Roman road to salvation. They've heard John 3:16, many of these that we're going to be confronting and things. So we've got to show them that there's a fact of them needing Jesus in a real way, that they can do, as Tony said, lay those things at the foot of the cross. So many times we want to go to everything else except to Jesus. We want to figure out, or we want to, you know, when I was doing youth work, it always bothered me when I would take a group of kids somewhere and the speaker that would be asked to speak would start talking about how much bad things they used to do. I mean, I was sitting one night, and we're all adults in here, I was sitting in a building, I almost got up and walked out, and this guy gets up and he spends about 15 minutes telling about how much marijuana he had smoked before he came to the Lord. And I just got to squirming in my seat. And I'm like, you know, let's get somebody that can tell them you don't have to do that to get saved. It was like, well, I was so bad that Jesus saved me, and now I'm different. And I understand he probably was, but we don't need to be telling kids that that's the way life is. Because you tell a 13-year-old that, they're going to think they're going to get to 18 and it'll be okay to do all that through high school. Well, what if God says you don't get to that? You know, I grew up in a youth group that we lost 3 of our kids that I grew up with in our youth group when they were 18 years old. The Lord called them home. And so I want us to really think about the wisdom and the knowledge that we use to that. How do we present the gospel? How do we bring it to life in the lives of those that think they've got it, but their life doesn't show it? Their good name doesn't show that they know Jesus and things. They got it on a piece of paper somewhere. They may even have a baptismal certificate, but boy, their life sure don't show it. They're not walking the walk and doing what He says to do. And so we need to be sure of that and just think through that. In verses 13 and 14, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what He has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of the adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. The writer says, consider the work of God. How many of us could go make the Grand Canyon and that river that goes through it straight? Nobody. Now, you might try to spend a fortune doing it, but you ain't going to do it. And that's what he's saying there. But we've got to realize that human life can't be made straight without God. If we don't trust in Him and know that He's the only answer, that's what we've got to teach this generation that's coming up and the generation that's here now, that we consider what God has done. And think through it, that we realize that He is the one doing it, that God has appointed the one as well as the other. Again, the song that Patsy sang this morning, there's going to be tough times coming. God's in charge of both of them. Y'all know I'm not a preacher that's going to say, come to Jesus and it's all going to be a bed of roses. You know, it ought to be. It's not. My office is full of folks. It's not that way. And I pray over and over for folks that this week one of our people called me and his wife had just had a heart transplant. Can you imagine a heart transplant? That just seems major to me. I'm not a doctor that way, but you know, I watched it on Discovery Channel. I didn't stay in Hilton last night, but the fact is, can you imagine that the prayers that they need to get through this, you know, any little thing could cause problems. And so we need to think about that, I think, and be truly praying, but that God is in charge. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to come. Like we said this morning, He knew we were going to start feeding people before we started doing it. He knows what God wants us to do as a church. He knows that we're going to reach those that He's called for us to reach if we'll be consistent in doing what He's telling us to do. As we look at the next verses, 15 through 20, I've seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness. There is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Is it good for you to grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other? For he who fears God will escape from all. Wisdom strengthens the wise, more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. You know, everything is vanity. He keeps bringing that back up. But that the just man perishes just as the unrighteous, that we see that take place. You know, but again, that we not be overly wicked. Well, that needs to be preached in our country today, doesn't it? It looks like that's what people are looking for, that they're wanting to seek out the wicked things of this world and do those things. I know it's not everybody, but that seems to be what's going on. But those who fear God will escape them all. Again, Solomon is saying if we trust in God, we can overcome those things. But we need to be careful that we don't just do something. You know, I mentioned to y'all, some of you Wednesday night, that I'm struggling with this gun situation and things. That everybody's talking about, and right now the big deal is concealed handguns and whether or not to take them and have them and things. But it's kind of like carrying a pocket knife. I grew up where you had to carry a pocket knife. But I got tired of getting undressed every time I went to a airport or every time I went to the police station. And if you come out with a pocket knife, they think you're a bad guy. You know, you in New York City, you can't get on a boat or anything if you got a pocket knife. And they don't like giving them back to you. So I just quit carrying them. Well, the thing with the gun is like I told them Wednesday, I wouldn't mind having the license just because when I go to Oklahoma, I want to take my pistol with me. And I don't want it laying out in the front. You know, I want it in my truck. But I'm not going to bring it in my office. You know, if somebody comes in the door of the church, I shouldn't need a gun for protection. And praise the Lord if somebody takes my life, because I know where I'm going. And if God wanted me to go that way, He'll let me go that way. But I can die from a heart attack just as easy as I can that. Or a car wreck. Or any of the other things. You know, sometimes going across the street to get the mail out there can be dangerous. And things. And I want to tell you something. It's narrow between that mailbox and that highway. It's not quite so bad nowadays as it was 3 years ago. When you weigh 370, there's lots of you that stick out both directions. And that bar ditch is really narrow then when that semi comes by you. But that we think through that we fear God, that we'll escape the things He wants us to escape, but we're going to have to live through the things He wants us to live through. There's just those things that we're going to have to deal with in that as we go through life. And I think that's what Solomon is saying in that passage. In 21 and 22, he says, "Also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your heart has known that even you have cursed others." You know, this weekend I've done 4 premarital counseling sessions. Well, actually more than that, but with 4 different couples. And I've talked to all 4 of them, actually at a wedding in here today, and I told them the same thing. You know, we need to be sure how we communicate in marriage. We've got to be sure our words are thought through. And I use the same illustration is, before we speak, we ought to think. I've had to learn that, okay? Because I'm really bad about speaking before I think in things. But we need to realize it. And I know that, you know, we were kids, we used to say, sticks or stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. But words hurt. Especially if we're supposed to be the godly example. If we're supposed to be the ones that's got the answers. What we say about people. And as the church, our communication in the church needs to be guarded. What we say about one another needs to be in certain things because of that, and realize that taking place. You know, I pray for our school system right now. For those of you, I don't know how many of you saw the news, that what we made on the news Friday night, but our school right now and superintendent role is got some things going on. And I'm going to tell you something. What took place Monday night cannot be redone. It may be changed, but it won't be redone. The damage has been done because of the actions and the words that have been said. And so we need to be really careful about what we say and how we do things and stuff. 23 through 26 says, "All this I've proved by wisdom, and I said I'll be wise, but it was far from me. As for which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason for things, to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. And I have found more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God will escape from her, but the sinner will be trapped by her." You know, the writer, if it's Solomon, is saying, I've proved it by wisdom, that we try those things and see them by wisdom. That we apply it to our heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason for things. That we think through, why are certain people doing certain things? That we analyze that and realize it. You know, it's kind of like those kids that ease over next to the dessert on Wednesday nights and have big coat pockets. You know? And they stuff them full, and they whisper to their sister or brother, "That'll be a snack later." Well, you know, we can say, "Don't take them," or we can just turn our heads and not say a word. Because that one's hungry. That one needs that extra thing. Well, there might be another child at home that they're going to take it home to, that we don't know the whole story and things. The fact that we think through that and realize that we see that. You know, he who pleases God will escape from the evils of this world and the things he's talking about. Again, I think that's referring to more so of getting through the things of life. As we look at the last section of verses, 27 through 8:1 says, "Here is what I've found," says the preacher, "adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly this one I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed." You know, he sees the fact of here's what he's found. That as a whole, man is not good. It's hard to find one that stands upright. Again, think about the time there, but think about today. We are to be able to find those people in the church. Not that we're not going to have sin, don't get me wrong, but we are to be the people that others can look to and know how to get through it. And I think sometimes we go through the trials of life for others to watch us. How we reach those around us is going to be key, and as we think through that, I encourage us to realize that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. In the original, we were upright, but because of sin, we have fallen. As Jesus said this morning, we were already condemned. He didn't come to condemn the world. We were condemned because of who we were, born into it. But he came to save all that would come to him. Our challenge as Christians is to come to him. Our challenge as Christians is to live for him and to seek true knowledge and true wisdom through the Word of God and the knowledge of doing that. Sometimes practical wisdom is good, but not always in the church. Because, well, let's just put it down to the things on Wednesday night. We don't know what that's going to do. It's costing us X number of dollars to feed those kids. And for all of y'all to be here as much as you were last week and this week, we appreciate that. But if you look at it, those kids aren't going to be able to pay for that food. Not today. But in God's eyes, we'll get it paid for. Because our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Our God says, feed my lambs. And we're going to feed his lambs till he comes back. But we're going to be sure we feed them the Word of God when we do it. Because that's what's going to change those lives. That's what's going to get them out of the things that they're learning at home and into the kingdom of God and the principles that they need to be instilled on of doing that. And the challenge is for us to reach out to them, to draw the net around them, and to preach the gospel message. Because as I said, some of you will see them go through the baptism of waters and know those were the ones that we made brownies for. Those were the ones we made cookies for. And you had just as big a part. And especially if you're those that's praying for those. And believe me, we're going to be praying for them. Especially through Vacation Bible School and the other activities, but as we pray continually for those. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer in closing. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for tonight. Lord, I realize that most of us in this room, we know you as our Savior. We understand that we live on this side of the cross and that we can lay everything at the cross. Father, one of the songs that we sang this night says that we need to lay everything on the altar. Father, if there's anything in our life that's keeping us from full fellowship with you, we're going to lay it on the altar tonight. We're going to give it to you, a holy and righteous God, and believe the fact that you'll take it and mold us and shape us into thy image, Father. We're going to trust and obey you to do the work you've called us to do, Father. And the joy is that we live on this side of the cross. The joy is that we know without a shadow of a doubt that if we believe in your Son Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of him, we are saved and are saved for a kingdom-minded work. Father, that would be our mind in all that we do. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for it all. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.